The two incidents that happened to me on late Sunday evening that I want to share with you today, and a lot of them, both of them have a lot to do with the concept of Simcha, Mizrat Hashem. When we finish the Shmuz today, I hope to give myself chizuk and my close colleagues chizuk about the power of Simcha, the importance of Simcha, and certainly share with you some ideas about how to attain and to maintain Simcha for long life. If you don't mind, just close the door. So after the 9:30 Marv Minyan, I get a frantic text from a father of a client of mine who tells me that his client, it's an emergency, it's urgent, my client, my son, very much needs to see you right away. And I'm begging, please, can you make a kind of accommodation to see him? Okay, fine. So, 16 and a half year old boy meets me that night at around 10:30 at night. What's the emergency? What's the urgency? Begins to tell me that he's trying to convince his friends, and also trying to convince his family that this sperm he wants to smoke up. He wants to get high. He doesn't like to drink alcohol. He drank alcohol the sperm beforehand. He got very sick. He doesn't like that feeling. He's experimented a little bit. Okay, relax. He's experimented a little bit in the past. I'm not talking about you. He's experimented a little bit in the past. And he made a deal with his parents that he will not smoke up because he realizes that the school that he goes to is a special ed school and they constantly are giving him tests, urine tests, and random tests. And he's adamant. He is going to convince his parents that this is what he wants to do for Purim. Parents are totally overwhelmed and shocked. And I say, well, why? And he goes on and on about how happy he wants to be, and this is Purim, and it's very important, and he wants to be happy, and happy, and the word happy again. And at the end of the 45-minute session or so, we get to the crux of the issue. Goes to special ed school. This is the fourth high school that he's been to. He's repeating 10th grade again. He doesn't have any connection to the community. He doesn't have any real soul friend except for the guy that he wants to smoke up with. Dysfunctional relationship with his parents. He's not connected. But in his mind, he wants to be happy. Speak a little bit about the peer pressure of it. And he's totally about being happy. That's what he wants. I come home. It's around 11:30. I'm feeling very wiped. So I try to change a little bit. Read the news. And I read the following article that I want to share with you, which normally I would probably overlook in 2 seconds. It was about a woman who was the oldest Holocaust survivor who passed away over the weekend. Her name was Alice Summer, and she is the oldest known pianist. There's actually a documentary film that's up for an Oscar award. The film is called The Lady Number 6. It's a very inspirational film. When I saw the trailer, I didn't see the film. It's a very inspirational film. What was interesting about this woman is that she basically describes her whole life as feeling connected, feeling tremendous meaning in her life, and being very happy. This is what she says. I'm quoting a part of what she says in the documentary. I think I'm in my last days, but it doesn't really matter because I've had such a beautiful life. 109 years. I have lived through many wars and have lost everything many times, including my husband, my mother, and my beloved son. Yet, life is beautiful, and I have so much to learn and enjoy. I have no space nor time for pessimism and hate. Life is beautiful. Love is beautiful. Nature and music are beautiful. Everything we experience is a gift, a present we should cherish and pass on to those we love. I am happy.
thinking about those two incidents, and I think that the best way that I was able to describe the difference between the two scenarios that I experienced on Sunday night is probably the difference between the secular understanding of what happiness is and the religious Torah definition of what simcha is. And one of my role models, Dr. Palkovitz, has a beautiful lecture about happiness, of which some of the things I'm going to be sharing with you today is actually from him, directly from him. And I would recommend that it's on YouTube, and I would recommend if you have an opportunity to listen to his words, because I think he puts it much better than I, but I think it would be worthwhile still today for me to share with you a glimpse of what he says. He talks about an interesting experience that he's had. When I was in Camp Simcha for many years, one of the responsibilities that I had was to be part of the bereavement weekends. It's a very scary thing. You walk into a Shabbaton of about 100, 150 people in a room. And as you look around the room, you notice that everyone is wearing different colors. Some are black hats, some are more Hasidic and have the furry hat. What is it called? Strangle. Some are Sephard, Ashkenaz, and some are totally non-religious. So because of the couple that they want to give Chalifrine, they wear one of these conservative kippahs. But what's even more scary is that when you get to the Seudah, the first Seudah of a bereavement weekend, and you look around the room, you can't help but notice that every single family who is sitting with you is missing a child. It's a very, very powerful event. And Dr. Balkovitz usually goes to these weekends, and he described himself an incident, an experience that he had. He says, it's lunchtime already, and by this time people are feeling much more comfortable, and he's sitting around the table. And a chassid, for whatever reason, begins to say, to mention his story, and he says to me, last year at Rosh Hashanah, my son was diagnosed with leukemia. And then he begins to share it to the people around the table, and 10 days later, Yom Kippur, davening Musaf and Ne'ilah, I felt a tremendous connection, a spirituality that I've never felt before. And at that moment in time, I've never felt a surge of happiness in my entire life. Dr. Palkovitz is looking at this guy and thinking to himself, could this be? Can there be more traumatic than finding out that your child is diagnosed with such a horrendous disease, and then 10 days later, to feel a surge of happiness? And as he's looking around the table at the other people who are listening to this chassid, he notices as their eyes all welled up with tears, that they are all nodding their head. He knew, like, they understand exactly where this guy is coming from. So what does the Torah have to tell us about simcha? What does the Torah have to tell us about 10 days to feel such a tremendous surge of happiness? I think before we look at the Torah side, it's important to look at the secular side. Anybody know what the root word of happiness, where that comes from? I'll give you a hint, the epidemiology of the word. Haphazard. Happiness, yeah, what, you know? By coincidence, the word hap means coincidence. It just happens to be. And I think that simcha is exactly the opposite. Simcha is exactly not what just happens to be. Simcha is very much focused and acquired. Dr. Palkovitz once asked Rabbi Palm, what is the difference between happiness and simcha? Berglass, this is not for you, but... The interesting response was the day after. A happiness that the secular world experiences, let's say on New Year's, we all know what the day after is like. And certainly that's a very different type of experience than one would on Rosh Hashanah. There are studies suggest, and again I'm quoting from this year, it's not my own, there are studies that suggest that most people in America, when you ask them what will make you happy, their first response is, I want to make more money. And as a matter of fact, the research about the relationship between money and happiness is very extensive. Listen to the following thing. Research shows that once we meet our basic needs, the amount of money that we have no longer matters. And therefore, if you want to be able to predict happiness, and you see a person who's taking his limo to work, to his 10-story magnificent office in Manhattan that he owns, and he makes millions of dollars every single year, and next to him is a person who's about to get on the bus that will take him 2.5 hours to his construction work site where he packed himself a little lunch bag. If you were to predict the happiness of both of those people, it would be by chance. 50-50. The money is certainly not a prediction of how happy a person will be. So Dr. Polkovitz suggests that there actually is great research about what are those predictions, and it's something called the 3 F's. You want to guess what they are? 3 F's. You know, if this was a seminary, one of the F's would probably be food, but it's not. Okay. Family, friends, and faith. Well done. Family, friends, and faith. Those are the 3 F's. The prediction is that the more you are connected to these 3 things, the greater chance that you will experience true, tremendous happiness. Okay, I want to get to some of the religious stuff, but I want to point out one other thing. There's a study that was done on a city in Pennsylvania called Rosetta, Pennsylvania. They found out that in Rosetta, Pennsylvania, in the early 1900s, that there was something very remarkable that happened from a medical sense, and that is that most people did not have any acute cardiology issues, no heart attacks, no cancer, no diseases. Most of the people of the town in Rosetta, Pennsylvania, lived very long lives. So they tried to compare Rosetta to other cities to try to find out what is that miracle thing that they're doing in Rosetta. And you know what? In Rosetta, they probably watched a little more TV, and they probably ate a little more pork, and they were totally not fit at all. Until they realized that the most significant thing about Rosetta compared to other cities was the 3 F's. Their sense of community, their sense of faith, the volunteerism. They explain over there in the study that he talks about that in Rosetta everybody built porches on the outside. And therefore, if someone was to miss school, all the people would know about it, and they would literally go to the child who would miss the school, take him by the ear, and bring him to the principal's office. But about 80, 90 years later, when the grandchildren began to live their lives as adults in Rosetta, they changed things a bit there. It was more interesting that instead of having these porches, they got rid of the porches, they put in 2-car garages. No one had time to volunteer. Everybody was focused on their work. And faith, going to church, just wasn't that important. And the research shows that in the 1980s, Rosetta has the worst death rate in Pennsylvania. Talk about a connection or the lack of connection to family, friends, and faith. So where does Simcha come in? Chachamim tell us, Rabbi Amelech tells us, Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. It's an obligation. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha, when you do the work, the real work, the real avoda, bo lefana b'nenav. Parshas Kitavo tells us, after describing the most horrendous and horrific punishments that have already come on Bnei Yisrael and may continue to come on us, the Parsha tells us the reasons why. Pasuk that we are familiar with, Pachad asher lo avadata et Hashem Elokecha besimcha. Because you did not serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu from simcha. And we'll define what that means in a bit. Interesting to note, in Pirkei Avot, Rabbi Yochanan goes on a venture to describe, to understand what is the most preferred quality, the preferred midah that a person should have. And he asks his five talmidim. So each one comes with a different explanation. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ayin Tova. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Chaver Tov. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Shachen Tov. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroet HaNolad. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach says, Lev Tov. Amar Lehem, Rabbi Yochanan responds, Ro'eh Ani Et Divrei Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach B'Divrachem. A Lev Tov. That is the one meter, the one quality that by far extends much better than any other midah. Shebichlad varav divrachem. Because included in having a lev tov, a good heart, is all the other midahs, all the other qualities that you have listed. Says the Tiferet Yisrael in this word on lev tov. What does lev tov mean? Shelev tov, hainu, what does it mean? Shelibo tamid sameach. It's a lev, it's a heart, it always knows simcha. Umizuman lehet of Makol and is ready and is prepared to do good to others. Why? Because he's happy. He's sameach. That's a lev tov. If you have a lev tov, you have simcha in your life. And if you have simcha in your life, you can easily acquire all the other midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have. Dan Melech in Tehillim writes, I bought a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Betzar hichav tali. That when I was feeling tzar, when I was feeling distress, when I was feeling narrow, when I saw darkness, under pressure, hichav tali. You created for me an opportunity where you expanded my horizons. So Shmuel Yaakov Sefer on the following thing. When you are in tzar, you are limited. You can't react appropriately. You're distressed, you can't react. When you have simcha, you have koach. You have the opportunity to engage others. When you are in tzar, little issues, when you're stressed out, little issues become very big issues for you. When you have simcha, the little issues really don't matter. When you are feeling stressed out, when you are tzar, you think about one person, and that's yourself. When you have simcha, and your life is fulfilled and full of meaning, you think about others. That's the power of simcha. So Rabosai, how do we attain it? I'll read you the English of what I think is the definition of what Simcha is all about. Chazon Ish himself, man who struggled with tremendous difficulties in his own life. For one who knows the light of truth, this is from Chazon Ish, for one who knows the light of truth, if you have clarity, if you know what truth is all about, there is no sadness in the world. If you have clarity, if you have meaning, if you're connected to something, if you have purpose, there is no sadness in the world. And I would say that the research talks exactly about the opposite. Because the people in the field in psychology, you don't have to be a psychologist to know this, but we all know that when we are not connected, we don't feel meaning with whatever it is that we're doing, then our levels of depression rise tremendously. I want to go back to the two incidents that I mentioned to you before on Sunday night. The life of Alice Summer was the life of music. If you type in Alice Summer, 109 years old, you will see the trailer and you will see other interviews that she's made. And I was doing this last night. I just wanted to see for myself. And my daughter, who plays the piano, the keyboard, she's sitting next to me, and I'm looking at this lady. She's 108 years old. That's when they took the video. And my daughter said to me, "Whoa, she's so old." And then I said to my daughter, "But listen to how beautifully she plays. And it's unbelievable. She's sitting there in front of the piano, and she's playing the most beautiful pieces of music at the age of 108. She was connected. She had meaning. She had purpose. She lived through devastation. She lived through the Holocaust. And through it all, she's able to say at the end, love and life is beautiful. I'm happy. And then I think about the young person who I saw in my office. No connection, no meaning, no purpose. What's happiness for him? A cook joint. It's very, very different. And if we take what Rabbi Palkovitz mentioned about the F's, family, friends, and faith, and we put it together, her family describes very much how she was connected to her son, family, to the friends, and she was a very religious, spiritual person. This young man had nothing. Rabbeinu Tzaddik says the following: Kishem she'tzarach adam la'amin ba'Hashem yitbarach, just like a person needs to believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, kach tzarach la'amin ba'adam atzmo, so too a person needs to believe in himself. Ritzono lomar she'yesh la'Hashem yitbarach esekimo, you need to know a Kodesh Baruch Hu has esek, he has business with you. V'she'enenu po'el batal she'ben laila haya u'ben laila avad. Don't think that this world is today you're here, tomorrow you're not. That's not what it's about. Rabbeinu Tzaddik says, you know what? Kodesh Baruch Hu knows exactly who you are. I'm looking at all of you. But Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking at you individually. He knows. He knows everything about you individually. He has essence with you, every single person in this room, including myself. Including myself. Including Rabbi Olshin, Rabbi Green, and all the other Rabbein in this room. Kodesh Baruch Hu has essence with each one of us. We are someone. And really what Rabbeinu Tzaddik is saying is that you are important. Tremendous study that was done. It's called the Flow Study. A number of years ago. And that is, they paged, now we would SMS, they paged a number of people 20 times throughout the day with two questions. What are you doing and how are you feeling? For a number of days, you would get a page 20 times during the day. What are you doing? How are you feeling? You would think, even a guy like me, 20 times during the day, the research wanted to find out, when are people the most happy? Flow studies, they call. So you would think, when people finish work, when they're back at home, when they're relaxing, maybe in the secular world, when they go to the bar before they go home, you would think that when they're reading a book, when they're on a vacation, and most people respond that they are happiest when they are immersed, when they are doing something productive at work. This is a tremendous study. What does it tell us about ourselves? That when we are being productive, when we are doing something that we enjoy, there's a connection. And when there's a connection, there's meaning, and when there's meaning, our life just is a very different type of a life. And we experience, we understand what Simcha is all about. It's more of a to feel content with our lives. It's not an immediate 1 hour, half an hour, 3 hours boost, a high. It has nothing to do with that. It's being able to open up our eyes in the morning and say, whoa, I'm just happy to be here. The way that I view my life is a very different way. Let's bring it all back. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Misimcha. What a strange statement from Chazal. There is no other holiday in the entire Jewish calendar that warrants an entire month full of simcha. We have holidays that you have an obligation to do some out. Because Shmini Atzeret, we have holidays. But there is no other holiday that warrants an entire month. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Bisimcha. What's the key? What's the lesson for us today? For both sides, it's very simple. Mishenichnas Adar. Adar is Aleph Dar. Adar is Hashem. Aleph, he's the only one. Dar, who resides. Mishenichnas Adar. When we allow Kodesh Baruch Hu to reside within ourselves, when we are able to focus, when we have meaning in our life, when we have purpose, when we allow the Baruch to reside within ourselves, Martin, the Simcha. We experience a Simcha that is filled with such meaning and purpose that nobody else can imagine. You go into the Beis Midrash and you will see some of your Rebbeim swinging their hands, maybe talking very loudly and shuffling back and forth. And you look at them in amazement and you see that they're happy. And that image that I just gave you right now, that same image is, you can see with a much better Simcha. You go into shul in the morning and you see some of your chaverim. And they don't have to be shuffling 90 miles an hour. You see your chaverim and you understand that they have a relationship with the Baruch Hu because of the way that they're uttering the words in the Siddur. They're focused. They're doing something intentive. Adar, or the Baruch Hu Dar, there's a spirituality that's part of life. They experience the Simcha. My bracha to you. And really, the chizuk for myself. Because we all go through life when it's a little bit more chaotic and it's a little more of a roller coaster. Is the bracha of attaining tremendous simcha. Reassess who are my friends. Reassess the real support that I get from my family. And reassess how much is a Kaddish Baruch Hu dar in my life? Have a good day.